If you have your Bible, let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to be talking about some of the changes that are happening, particularly in the earth today. We want to look at the natural things that are happening, but we also want to bring this around to where we see the spiritual things as well. But, you know, the Word of God at one point, I believe in Corinthians, where Paul said, first the natural, then the spiritual. There we go, 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah. Now, let's start with Romans chapter 8, and I believe there's a verse here, verse 22. It's an odd place to start, you might say, but it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Well, how many of you know that the creation is still groaning and travailing in pain? We're talking about the natural earth, are we not? Amen? And we're going to look at some verses that are speaking to this issue. This whole thing that's happening in the Gulf, I believe it's part of the earth groaning and travailing in pain. Okay? Now, but the good news is, we go back to verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," amen, brother and sister, "the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed," where?
In us.
In us.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you are looking forward to seeing that glory?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I can't help but believing there are three realms of glory, amen, that I know of. You know, there's three of everything, it seems, in the Bible. But there's three realms of glory. There is the realm of glory that we beheld His glory. In other words, we just saw it with our eyes. That's nice, isn't it? To behold the glory. How many of you like beholding a beautiful sunset? It looks so beautiful. But you know, the sunset is still out there. It's not on you, it's not in you. It's out there, you're just beholding it. All right. There's another level which Moses experienced when he went up on the mount. And the glory of God was where? It was on him. It shone off of his face. But you see, this is Old Testament. That's probably about as good as it got out there, is the glory, the Spirit of the Lord would be upon them. But the prophet said, there's coming a day when the Spirit is going to indwell you. In other words, God is not going to just reveal His glory to you, but He's going to reveal and manifest that glory within you. Okay? So it says here, "For we reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In fact, even if we go back to Isaiah chapter 60, it says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Maybe I should read it so I get it right here. Getting back to Isaiah. But it says, I believe it says, "But the Lord shall arise, and His glory shall be seen upon us." Am I getting it right? "And His glory shall be seen upon thee." The verse before that says, "Arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Now this is still Old Testament, isn't it? And this is probably the best of the vision that Isaiah could get, was to see the glory upon him. Maybe he couldn't imagine, you know, at that time, that the glory would be actually in you. We're talking about Jesus Christ manifesting himself in the fullness in us. Now, we sang that song, "The fullness of the Godhead is where? In whom?" In Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him. Well, if Jesus is in us, and the fullness, His fullness is going to be manifested in the sons of God, wow! What's going to be coming forth from us? Don't you look forward to that day? But you know, you're going to have to submit to the fiery trials to the purging, to the stripping, in order to be made in His image. All right, so let's go back to, we're talking about the earth. Did we read everything here? It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, which is creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's another song that we sang this morning. Amen. Out of Zion shall come a deliverer, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, you know, this is not preached everywhere. All people do not believe that the sons of God are going to be manifest. I don't know what you want to do with this verse, but if you go back to verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. What's the definition of sons of God? Those who are led by the Spirit. Now, you know, there are many Christians that are not led by the Spirit. I don't know what they're led by. Many of them are led by their own emotions, their own desires, their own will, their own self. And they're not allowing Jesus Christ to be the head and be the king. Many churches are not allowing Jesus Christ to be the head. They put man in the position. Amen. But here it says that the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The verse that follows, where it says the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together, it says, and not only they, but ourselves also. How many of you are groaning and travailing in pain? Mm-hmm. What happens after groaning and travailing in pain? What happens to a woman when she comes to that place in her... She's going to bring forth. Something is going to be brought forth. Amen? Not only they... but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Amen. Well, that's enough for Romans 8. Let's go over to Brother Joel, the Old Testament prophet. And I want to read some another verse here, Joel chapter 3. And we'll go to verse 16, but I think I might start back in verse 12. I hate to start right off in the verse without giving you the context of everything that's being said about it here. Let the heathen be wakened, verse 12, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. What's going to go on in the valley of Jehoshaphat? Amen. Well, some say it's a valley of great warfare. But we're going to find out what that valley is about in a few verses here. Let them come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Brethren, we're going to see some verses here that are going to talk about what is going to happen to the heathen. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty picture. Amen. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Now, putting the sickle in may be good and it might not be good. It depends on where you are in the harvest. All right? Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The vats, it says fats, but it means vats. The fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. In other words, God is going to bring a harvest, and He's going to remove the wickedness from the earth. Let's go on. Multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. How many of you know there are many, many people today in the valley of decision? They don't know it. They don't know it. How many of you know that many of God's people are in the valley of decision today? We've got to make choices, brethren. We've got to make decisions. Just like God is bringing these circumstances to a head in our life, and we're going to have to deal with them. We're going to go this way or we're going to go that way. We're going to go further into bondage or we're going to be set free. And you know, there's a lot of bondage coming. I'm telling you, there's a lot of bondage. There's going to be people screaming and crying, I don't know what happened to me. How did this happen? Let's go on. Now, verse 6, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withhold their shining. Now, I'm going to look at this as mostly a spiritual picture here, this verse here. Now, I know that God can darken the natural sun and the stars and the moon. I suppose if you just, those that were somewhere near that cloud of that volcano that was going off, I'm sure that it looked like the sun was dark. And you couldn't see the moon as good through that cloud. And the airplanes couldn't fly through it. All right, so that's the natural. But let's look at the spiritual side of the picture too. And that is, the sun is a representation of the light of God. Is it not? And so you say, well, there's nothing wrong with God. No, but because of the condition of the world, because of the gross darkness, a lot of people are not going to be able to see the light of God. It's because of their own darkness. The moon is a representation of the church. And the moon church today does not have very much influence in the world today. The world has basically shut them off. We don't want to hear from you. The stars, they're the bright ones of God. Even they, their influence is going to be dimmed. Okay? So, we come down here to verse 16 now. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. What is Zion, by the way? You people have been listening to me long enough. You know automatically what it means. Zion is not a place over on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea in the land of Israel. That's a natural place called Zion. I don't think they even call it Zion anymore.
People.
Zion is God's people.
Amen.
We are the Zion people.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, look it up in Hebrews. It tells it very clearly. Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Saints, Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. Souls of just men made perfect. Come on, it's the people of God.
Amen.
It's Mount Zion. Amen. The Lord shall roar out of where?
Zion.
Out of the midst of us, the Lord has got a loud announcement to make. Amen. God is going to get the attention of the people of the world from where? From a trumpet sound somewhere off in the heavens? No, from His people.
I believe
the trumpet is sounding even now.
Mm-hmm.
It's beginning to sound. A trumpet is an announcement from God.
Yes.
Amen. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter His voice from Jerusalem.
Amen.
Again, the people of God.
Jerusalem.
Amen. And the heavens and the earth shall shake.
Yes. Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is there's natural and there's spiritual things here. Let's understand both. First of all, I don't know how to shake a natural heaven. Heaven has got to be spiritual. Earth can be both. Okay? The heavens are what? It's a spiritual realm. The spiritual realms are being shaken. The stronghold that Satan has had through the spirit realms that he has controlled this earth, it is being shaken. The powers that be, there's a shaking coming. These men that hold these high positions that have been gained through deceit and wickedness, this is going to be shaken. Now he says the earth also is going to be shaken. And while we're on the spiritual, let's talk about my spiritual earth. What you guys are going through, your earth is being shaken. Your flesh is being shaken. The carnal realm of my soul is being shaken. What makes me weep? What makes me cry? What makes me say, oh my, it's my earth is being shaken.
Yeah.
Amen? But the natural earth, let's not ignore the natural earth, because I want to talk about it a little bit today. The natural earth is being shaken also.
It is. Amen.
Paul said in Romans 8, creation. When he's talking about creation, I believe he is talking about natural things. Amen. Are groaning and travailing, and they're going to come into a shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, how many years have they been hearing this? Are we preparing for this? Is our soul preparing? Is our lifestyle being prepared for this? And by the way, I'm not just preaching to two or three of you. I'm preaching a recording that many other people are going to be hearing. So don't take this personally that I'm pointing a finger at anybody here. Please cut me a little break, would you? Yes, I am. I'm preaching to myself. All right, that's a good point. Amen. The heavens and the earth shall shake. But, now listen, listen to the last part of this. But the Lord, what does it mean when it says but? The other side of the coin is, but the Lord will be the hope of His people.
Yes, He is my hope.
And the strength of the children of Israel.
Amen.
And again, who are we? Are also spiritually Israel.
Amen.
Come on, read the New Testament if you have a problem with understanding that you don't have to be natural Jew to be Israel. Paul said that we are the seed of Abraham. We Gentiles are also seed of Abraham.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Yep. All right, so you're not going to give me a hard time about that.
No.
All right. All right, so the earth realm is the carnal realm of the earth. People who will live and dwell in this carnal realm are going to have an awful shaking. I'm telling you, brethren, I can see it. I can see it coming so clearly. The things that Larry said, he didn't know I was going to talk about this today.
It's happening now.
It's begun. It has begun. Yes. I mean, these prophecies are no longer futuristic things. The book of Revelation is no longer a futuristic thing that's going to happen 100 years from now. It is beginning now.
Now, 2 years.
Hallelujah. It says, but, you see, the world is going to go through, and the carnal Christian is going to go through a terrible shaking. But the Lord is the hope of His people and the strength of the children of Israel.
Hallelujah.
So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. All right, now let me go on to Isaiah. Because Isaiah is just, you know, I got a new look at Isaiah the other day. A couple weeks ago, I started looking up some of these things. And you know, I saw Isaiah in a light that I have never seen Isaiah before.
New revelation.
Yes, it is a new revelation. You know, I don't want to admit it, but I don't know. I guess there was a time when I looked at most of Isaiah. Well, yeah, I saw the prophetic things that were going to apply to the coming of the Lord. But there was so much there that I said, oh yes, he's prophesying to those Jews back there hundreds of years ago, several thousand years ago. But come on, prophecy is not dead.
No, it's not.
Prophecy doesn't pass out of existence. With the life and the power of the Spirit of God in these prophetic words, it is alive for our generation.
Yes.
And there is application for our generation. Look at Isaiah chapter 24. Get down into verse 4. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. What's going on? What's going on with these volcanoes and these earthquakes and these oil wells that are spewing out? What is going on? The earth is mourning. Why is it necessary for the earth to mourn like this? Why can't we live in paradise? Because the wickedness of man is corrupting and earth is reacting to it. Come on, you can listen to these scientists all you want about global this and global that and warming and climate change and all that. And maybe there is a point that they've got. Yes, the earth is changing. But it is not because of some, something coming out of my exhaust pipe. It's because of the wickedness that man has been perpetrating upon the earth. It is because man is calling evil good and good evil. the sexual sins that are going on. I mean, just to name a few. That's a small thing. They're calling good evil and evil good.
Right. Yeah.
Contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
They're redefining the laws of God. They've made a new God. They said, well, I don't like the way the old God was, so I'm going to make myself a new one, and I'm going to rewrite the things according to the way I want them understood.
Uh-huh.
And the churches are doing the same thing. They're going along with it.
Yep.
In fact, they're leading the charge. So the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth. Now, do you know there's two different words here, earth and world? And I appreciated Brother Sigworth coming up to me and telling me. I brought this word in Muhammad, but we're going to take a lot more time in bringing it here. We're going to take our time and go through it. But Brother pointed out to me, the earth speaks of the natural earth, what we call the world, you know, the globe. But the world speaks of the inhabited part of it. In other words, the habitations of man upon the earth. So listen to this again. The earth mourneth and fadeth. That's the natural earth. But the inhabited places of man languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Now listen, you're going to have to follow another theme through here. The word haughty is the equivalent of what?
Pride.
And I find this word cropping up so many places where we're talking about what is happening to the earth is that God is dealing with pride. He's dealing with our pride. How many of you know that judgment must first begin at the house of God?
Amen. Yeah.
Well, what judgment? Lord, we're perfect. No, we're not.
No.
We're full of pride and haughtiness, spiritual pride, religious pride. Yes, we're full of it. And God is bringing it to an end.
Amen.
In us.
Hallelujah.
Yes, me.
Hallelujah.
Yes, I've had to deal with it personally.
Yeah.
I didn't want to admit that it was there. But I tell you, God knows how to get your attention sometimes, doesn't He? And when He knows how to get it, He's going to get it. Okay. The haughty people, their earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Do you get this picture? The natural earth, the earth that has volcanoes and earthquakes and oil wells, oil storage, what have you, underneath. That earth is what? Defiled under the inhabitants. That means we who dwell on top of that earth are defiling that earth. Because of our sins. Because of our wickedness. Because of our iniquity. Because of our rebellion against God. We are defiling that earth. And the cure is not going to be some new tax or anything else. And I'm not trying to speak politics here. Those things that man is doing is not the cure.
Amen.
The cure is turning back to God.
Yes.
And crying out to God. And saying, oh God, have mercy on us. But you know what? As a nation, we won't do it anymore. I think the closest we ever came was back in the 1940s when, and I don't think he was that great a president, but we'll call him that anyway, FDR called for a day of prayer. And you know what? The day of prayer that I heard at 9/11 was a completely, totally different day of prayer than was called for in the 1940s. It was a day where they had all the Muslims and the Hindus and everything else, everybody calling on some other God. It was not a day of prayer. The inhabitants, amen, are defiling the earth.
Yep. Amen.
Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. This is what we have done. We want Eden, but we're living like this. No, we're not going to have Eden under these circumstances. Amen. Therefore hath the curse, listen to this, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. What curse? What curse? God put the curse on the time of the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
He told Adam, because now Adam's sin, Eve's sin, it wasn't nearly as great, you could say, as what's going on today. And yet, it was disobedience. They didn't do what God told them.
Right.
And you know, I could feel sorry for Eve. It was the assault against her was totally one-sided.
Yeah.
She was just an innocent little thing. She didn't know anything about good and evil.
No.
The attack by Satan against her was just a horrible, horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
He totally took advantage of a poor, innocent little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell for it.
She was weak.
She was weak.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be too hard on Eve. But nevertheless, because of that fall, and Adam went along with it. He went. Every one of us had partaken of the same thing.
Amen. Amen.
And so there was a curse on the earth. God said, the earth is not going to bring forth for you, Adam, without much effort. There's going to be weeds, there's going to be thorns, there's going to be thistles. You're going to have to fight for everything you get. It's going to fight against you. Earth is going to fight against you. Amen. It's going to be an uphill struggle all the way from now on. Now, that curse, God says, that curse is taking over the whole earth. Do you understand what's happening to the environment?
Yeah.
The curse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they that dwell therein are desolate. What's that word desolate mean? My goodness, it says held guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. Now, this is prophetic. This is prophetic. This is God saying what's going to happen to many of the inhabitants of the earth.
Amen.
Annihilated with fire. The earth is going to be judged by fire. Now you can take that natural, you can take it spiritual, it doesn't matter.
Right.
There's going to be judgment by fire.
Right.
The earth was judged by water, and it's going to be judged by fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen? Well, that's as far as I want to go there. Let me go down now to verse 11. Oh my, so many verses. Let me just read on down there. The new wine mourneth. What is wine, new wine, a picture of? Joy, happiness, rejoicing. It's mourning.
Yeah.
The vine languisheth, all the merry hearted do sigh.
Amen.
The mirth of tabrets. What are these tabrets? You know this little thing right here on the chair? That's a tabret. That little tambourine. Yeah. The tabret ceaseth. That, you know, when do you play that little thing?
Yeah.
It's when you're rejoicing and dancing and having a good time in the song,
yeah,
and the praise before the Lord. It says it ceases. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. This is what's coming on the earth, brethren, the natural earth. Those who are not in Christ, this is what's going to happen. Okay? He said that He's the hope of those who trust in Him.
Amen.
All right, let's go on. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. Do you know what? That's true today.
Yeah.
Houses are shut up, locked right up tight.
Right.
We used to be able to go away for a month, leave the house totally unlocked.
Yeah.
Nobody worried about it.
Yeah, no,
neighbors looking after everything. I mean, even when we lived in Newcomb, we went off somewhere. I don't know where we went for a week. We came home. It was winter time. There was a fire started in the stove. The place was warming up. There was a nice new pie on the table. Don't know where it came from. It came from somebody that knew we were coming home that day.
Yeah.
Amen. It says, there is crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. Mirth is what? Joy and rejoicing. Again, The city is left desolation. The gate is smitten with destruction. How many of you believe that our cities could actually look like that?
Yeah.
How many of you believe David Wilkerson's prophecy?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I believe it's going to happen, brethren.
Yeah.
Amen. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. How many of you know that some of these trees have to be shaken to get the fruit off? Now you can do that to an apple tree. You better be careful because you might be breaking the branches. But when I was out in California years ago with Brother Bert, where he lived was on, I'm always say it wrong, I call them almonds. They're not almonds, they're almonds.
Almonds.
Well, where did the L go? Well, they shook it out of them. No, they come along with a shaking machine.
Right, they're not trees.
These are not trees.
Yeah.
They come with a machine.
Right.
And they get a hold of the trunk,
right.
And it just shakes violently.
Yeah.
And then all the nuts fall.
Yeah.
And they come and pick the nuts. Yeah, no, you don't send pickers out to pick each individual nut off the tree. You just shake the tree. And this is what God is saying is going to happen to the earth. This earth is going to be shaken. Like, apparently you have to do this with olive trees too. I don't know anything about olive trees. That's more Mideast, foreign to me. All right, down to verse 16. I could read this whole chapter. Let's go to verse 16. It says, "For the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory of the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have done treacherously."
Yeah.
Now, I can speak idly and say, well, yeah, these merchants of oil and these drillers of wells and all, they've done treacherous things, they've cut corners, and maybe they have. I don't know. I don't know enough about that. But let's talk about the treacherous dealers in the realm of the economy.
Right.
There are treacherous things going on. It isn't just the bankers,
no.
You know, but they're included.
Yeah.
And it's these people that merchandise these credit cards.
Right.
They every week I get new invitations for some new credit card. Come on, sign up. You're pre-approved. You know, only pay 6%. You know, put all your debts on our card. Well, you see what happens.
Yeah.
It comes around and it bites like a serpent.
Yeah.
When it's all done.
Yeah.
Treacherous dealers have done treacherously. Is that redundant or what?
Right. Yes.
The word is used twice in here.
Right. Yes.
It says, oh my goodness, yes. Let's not forget the politicians. They lie.
Yes.
What are they dealers? What do they deal in? They deal in words. They deal in lies. They deal in promises that are not kept.
Right.
Wordsmiths.
Okay.
Is what they are.
Yeah.
Amen. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. This is a very interesting verse.
Yes. Amen.
I don't know that it has that we have even discovered yet the full interpretation of this. This is not just people selling candy.
Right.
You know, treacherous dealers. This is people selling a lot more than that. Marketing in human souls is what they're doing. Look over in Revelation. Skip on down to verse 18 now. "And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit."
Yeah.
What pit are we talking about? We're not just talking about some little well.
No.
We could be talking about the abyss.
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah.
Amen. "And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare." We understand what spiritual snares are, don't we?
Amen.
things that catch you, you don't realize you're being caught, and the first thing you know, there's a trap, and it's going to snap, and you are going to be in a lot of pain when that thing happens. You can understand a rabbit bobbing along through the woods, you know, and somebody sets a little snare, they bend a little twig, you know, and put a little noose on it, and somehow the rabbit hits that just right, and sprung, there he is, he's hanging, you know, from the little rope. But Satan has these same kind of snares for us. And we're just bobbing along, and all of a sudden we're taken in the snare. It says, "For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake." Take that naturally and take that spiritually. Oh, my goodness. Let me go through. I want to come back and talk about the foundations of the earth. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Hallelujah. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. You know, people say, "Oh well, we'll get through this and we'll rise again." You know, no, not in the same manner that we've done before. It's over. I believe the die is cast. We are never going to go back to that opulent lifestyle, that wasteful lifestyle that we have lived in the past. It's come to an end. God is judging that hedonistic kind of thinking in America. Now, let me go back. The foundations are shaken. Let's talk about this in the natural. Natural foundations of the earth. Where are they? It's the crust. No, that's the spiritual. Let's get to the natural earth. Out there, dirt, earth.
Okay.
Dirt, earth, yeah. Earthquakes. Earthquakes are a result of this natural earth foundations being shaken. Volcanoes erupting. This is a result of natural earth foundations being moved. Amen. Tsunamis are a result of natural earth foundations that are moved out in the middle of the sea and create a great tsunami wave coming to the land. Amen. I think that the drilling of that oil well out there in the Gulf Coast. It's not coast that they drilled it. It's out in the Gulf. Something has been discovered to have happened in this well that I think is kind of unprecedented. This thing has got loose with a vengeance that man cannot tame.
No, they can't.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a pessimist, but I just don't think they're ever going to get the handle on this thing. And I've read a lot of reports, and they're not just idle reports. They are reports from geologists, men of science that have studied these things, men who have much experience in these matters. They're not just scare tactic, somebody from somewhere that's just blowing off steam. There's credibility in a lot of what I have read about this. First of all, and by the way, I have many witnesses to some of these things, not just one. First of all, they have discovered a huge pile, of, not pile, what do you call a gas? A bubble of methane in this oil well. Not only that, the pressure, apparently because of the methane here, and this well, the mouth of this well is almost a mile deep in the ocean. Have you any idea what the pressures are? Man cannot go down there.
No.
They send these little robots down there to try to work the things out. I don't know. What can little robots do? I guess they're pretty clever these days. But then, from that point, I understand, and please tell me if I'm wrong. I understand from that point then, the well itself goes something like another 3 or 4 more miles down into the reservoir of oil. Now what happened to this oil rig is that the methane began to come up out of this thing, and a little spark somewhere on that rig blew it kaflooey. Just blew it up. And methane is very volatile. It's as volatile as propane. It's another one of these gases, you know? Now, this is speculation. They are speculating, and these are scientists again are speculating why the oil company cannot deal with this. They're saying the pressures are such that man does not have any technology available to deal with pressures so high. There's a range, 30, 60, 100. Isn't that interesting that they gave that range? 30,000 pounds per square inch, 60,000, and the one fellow said, worst case scenario, 100,000 pounds per square inch. How are you going to put a cap on that thing that will stop it? You can't stop it. It's just, all that cap is doing is directing some of the oil to a place where they can collect a little more of it.
On the news today, they were going to cap it today.
Anyway, God bless them. I hope they do. But I have a feeling that the judgment of God is being manifest in the Gulf.
Yes, amen.
And I'm not going to tell you all the speculation. It gets pretty wild about what would happen if this methane thing starts to erupt and just blows the whole thing up. And the tsunamis. This is speculation. Please, I'm doing my disclaimer here. It's all speculation. But you know, God can do whatever He decides to do. The thing is completely in God's hands. I'm reading you the verses that say the earth is going to be mightily shaken.
Yeah.
Would this not be a mighty shaking?
Oh, it is.
And I'm going to give you far more evidence than just this of what is happening. Hallelujah. We don't know the extent.
Isn't it fixed now?
No, it isn't fixed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Not today. Today they're working on it.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Let me just take a few more verses here. Where did I leave off here? Okay, the earth is broken. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth is moved exceedingly. That word, where it says clean dissolved, the earth is clean dissolved, that means split open. And where it says that it's moved exceedingly, it means it's shaken. Now, the geologists have also discovered what they believe to be fissures that have developed around the opening of this oil well. That because of the intense pressure, you know what fissures are? Little tiny cracks that are coming. And they're worried about this.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? These geologists don't know what's going to happen. They're just saying, well, here's fissures. We hope it isn't a problem. But with our little sounding instruments, we're finding these little fissures down here.
Split open and shaken here.
Yes, split open and shaken is what the meaning of this. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Now, I want to get to the North Pole here for a minute. The earthquake in Chile recently was an 8-point-something. It moved the North Pole a little bit. Not much. But it did move the... You know what I mean when I say the North Pole? I don't mean I don't mean the magnetic North Pole. That was laid down in the foundation of the earth. the iron molecules are polarized, okay? And so when it was all laid down, there's the magnetic north pole. That's how a compass, it takes the magnetic polarization of the iron molecules, they all come to one point, because this is where the positive or whatever was when God laid it all down. However, the actual axis on which the earth turns has moved quite a bit since creation. And I saw an article in the National Geographic one time, and by the way, I'm not a lover of National Geographic because they're such evolutionists, but they traced the movement of the actual North Pole. Now, I don't know how they did this, and you know, it was a zigzag line. And they claimed that this thing had moved since, and I'll say creation, they won't admit creation, but that here is the magnetic north, and they said that this thing is the axis is moving over toward Greenland. Now, please again, this is not speculation. I hope it's not speculation. It's scientists that are writing these things. And one of the brethren said to me, well, they don't believe that most of this zigzagging and drunkenness of the earth has happened in our time, but it probably happened during the days of Noah. Do you remember what I told you about what is believed? I think it's a Dr. Brown, a Christian, a man that believes that the whole Atlantic Ocean began to split open. And it's in when you go back to Noah, it says that the heavens were open,
yeah,
and the great fountains of the deep,
yeah,
opened up.
Yeah.
And it had to be a terrible, terrible earthquake of something that went along with the flood. It had to move the earth on its axis like a drunkard.
Right.
This is prophecy, futuristic prophecy.
Uh-huh.
This is not talking just about something that happened in the days of Noah. It is talking about something that is going to happen. Amen. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. He can't stand up straight. He can't walk straight. And it would have to be the axis of the earth. I'm talking natural things here now. Brethren, I can talk about this in a spiritual sense as well. What is the spiritual? My earth is being shaken. When I see the things that are happening, my soul is being shaken. Except, that would be my natural band. Except that I know that it says in Hebrews, yes, my earth is going to be shaken in so much as what? That the only thing left cannot be shaken. And what is that? That is the kingdom of God in me cannot be shaken.
Amen.
Because the word of God is yea and amen.
Amen.
And though I see with my eyes,
hallelujah,
I will not be shaken.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Heaven and earth, yes, the natural things, heaven and earth. Go over to verse chapter 25. You know, man, I'm not getting anywhere near this. But chapter 25 of Isaiah. Oh, here we are. We're right here, chapter 25. I don't have to turn anywhere. All right, I'll read from the beginning so that we get it all in context. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. The counsels of old are faithfulness and truth, for Thou hast made of a city a heap. Do you remember what happened to the Twin Towers?
Yes. Yeah.
The biggest thing in New York City became a heap. A pile of rubble.
Right.
Can that happen to the cities?
Yeah.
I'm not going to finish today. I'm going to quit in a few minutes. I want to follow this through. Brethren, I know it doesn't sound like good news, but it's really good news.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually wondering if God is going to allow people to live in cities anymore when it's all done. Or at least what's happened to the cities of the past.
We'll never get back.
Do you know that Nimrod was the man that first built cities?
New Earth.
And Nimrod was a rebel against God. And he began to gather people together in such a manner that he could put them under his constraint, under his yoke, under his control, and he began to rule over them. And God does not want man ruling over man.
Amen.
It said he began to be great. That is not a positive thing about Nimrod. He began to be a despot, a dictator. A palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Listen to this next verse now. Thou hast been a strength to the poor. How many of you know God looks after the poor?
Amen.
Why don't you write the word poor in spirit after that? Not just dirt poor poverty, but the poor in spirit. God is going to look after you.
Amen.
Amen. A strength to the needy in his distress. Why? Because the needy in his distress calls out to God.
Amen.
When you are in distress, where do you go? You go to God if you know Him. Amen. A refuge. Now listen to this. A refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. What does that sound like?
Me, right now.
What does that sound like in the natural? It sounds like a bomb, doesn't it?
Amen.
A hot bomb, a nuclear bomb.
Amen.
Amen. Well, oh, there's so much more. Let us come together again the next time. We'll try to finish this. I know we've gone over our time already today. Lord, we just thank You for the time that You've given us. We rejoice in You today, Lord. And we ask, surely, Lord, that You would open our eyes to see these things, that we would be alert, Lord, to what is happening in the earth today, and Lord, that we would have the revelation knowledge that surely You keep and protect Your own, Lord. For we would enter into the secret place of the Most High, and there we would be kept at all times, Lord. In Jesus' name we thank You and praise You. Hallelujah. Amen.